On this New Year's Day, I want to begin by asking you a question. Not, I don't expect answers shouted out or you share, but just something to think about for a moment or two. What is it that defines us as a people? What is it that people beyond the circle of the church should say defines us? Perhaps I may be so bold as to suggest that the biblical answer is incorporated in our verse for the year. It's on our bulletin, and there are cards at the back which you can take to put on your fridge or elsewhere at home if you haven't already done so. The answer to my question, what is it that defines us, that marks us as somehow different? The answer is God's presence. God's presence with us. The end of our verse for the year says, God, your God, is with you every step of the way. Many of you may recall that back in Exodus 33, when Moses had come down from the mountain, having received the Ten Commandments, and finding that the people had rebelled and made a golden calf, that God's judgment was about to fall, and Moses stood in the breach to intercede for the people. But even then God said, I'm no longer going with the people. I will send an angel, but I'm not going. And these wonderful words, amongst my favourite words in the whole Bible, Moses says this, if your presence does not go with us, do not send us up from here. How will anyone know that you are pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? The distinguishing mark of God's people is not that we're better than anybody else, that we're better behaved, hopefully we may well be. It's not in anything that we are, it's God's presence. And some 40 years on, following the wandering in the wilderness, when the people who had refused to go into the promised land originally had died off, the people stood once again on the threshold of that promised land, as we heard read in the first reading. Moses had died and the leadership has been handed on to Joshua. And God says this to Joshua at the very beginning of the book. It's our verse for this year. Haven't I commanded you, God said? Strength, courage, don't be timid. Don't get discouraged. God, your God, is with you every step you take. And of course, we will be familiar that that's not just the Old Testament. What were Jesus' final words recorded by Matthew? Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. And we know that that's not Jesus physically with us, but it's by his Spirit that he promised to us. However, whilst God's presence with us is the mark upon us as a people, it's only half the story. Because God requires of us a response. One of the greatest gifts that he gave to Adam and Eve in the creation was free will, the ability to make choices. Indeed, we are not robots. God cannot make us love him any more than any human being can make another human being love them. God gives us the choice. He takes the risk, as he did with Adam and Eve, that they could decide to turn away. So although his presence is what marks us out as a people, we in turn need to respond. And in that little story that we read in Joshua chapter 3 a few moments ago, we see some ways in which we can respond to God's presence, to God's call upon our lives. As we embark on this new year, as we look ahead, I expect we all know that there will be opportunities. There will be challenges. There will be uncertainties. How are we to be prepared? Well, I believe this passage, telling the story of the people standing on the east bank of the Jordan, ready to go into the promised land, there are some principles that we can learn. First, there is the instruction. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of your God, that's where Joshua begins. Why does he begin there? Well, because for the people of Israel, the Ark of the Covenant represented the presence of God. When I was thinking about this, I thought, but we don't need any visible helps now, do we? We've got the Holy Spirit. But then I thought, what arrogance. We do have a visible reminder of the presence of God. We'll be sharing in it later in communion. Of course, there is a danger, as happened with the Israelites, that they began to somehow worship the ark. And there are those who perhaps, and I've got to be careful here, but perhaps idolize the bread and the wine. But nevertheless, God has given us something which represents, which reminds us of his presence. It's not his presence, but it reminds us of it. It's a visible help. But incorporated in the ark is not only a reminder of God's presence, but there are symbols within that ark that remind us of what God is like. Centuries later, the writer to the Hebrews reminded us what was in the ark. The gold-covered ark contained the gold jar of manna, Aaron's staff that had budded, and the tablets of stone of the covenant. And above the ark was the mercy seat or atonement seat. I believe that each of these gives us a little aspect of God's amazing character. The jar of manna, that reminder that those 40 years in the desert, God provided for the people day after day after day. And that's a reminder to us that whatever we need or embark on, God will provide. And there's Aaron's staff. A very important reminder to us that God ordains leadership within his people. And we need to respect and honour that leadership under God. We need to remember to pray for our leaders because they are literally so often in the front line. And then there's the tablets of the covenant, a reminder that God has given us his word to reveal himself to us. And there's the atonement seat for us, superseded by the cross, a reminder that God is a God who is slow to anger and rich in love, a God who has provided for our forgiveness, for our cleansing, for our renewal through the finished work of Jesus. So my first principle, as we move into this year, that we remind ourselves that God is God. It's his presence. However we picture it, however we sense it, it's God's presence which is of primary importance. But then the order went out that when you see the ark, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Today, God is on the move. If you read your newspapers, and sadly, if you read some aspects of the Christian press, the church is in decline. In other parts of the world, other fanatical religions have the upper hand. And I don't want to in any way deny the awful persecution that some of our brothers and sisters face in parts of the world. But we must balance that with the fact that God is on the move. He is doing things, odd things, like people suddenly being healed beyond their expectation. I was at a talk a few weeks ago when a very learned person was telling us of a report by a senior Muslim cleric in Libya who runs a kind of information school about what's going on in the Muslim world. And she'd watched a program with translation of him on Al Jazeera. And he was bemoaning the fact that there are now more Christians in Africa than Muslims. He was bemoaning the fact that something like 30,000 Muslims every day turn to Christ. And he was calling it a disaster. God is on the move. There's no doubt about it. But like those Israelites, we need to be ready to move out and follow him. Every single church faces the danger of being comfortable, of being familiar. It's so much easier to stay where you are. It feels so safe, so comfortable. Or we can look back and say, oh, it was so much better in my day. When I was a youngster, yes, and everybody went to church and everybody was so much better behaved, blah, 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 blah. When we read the Bible, the only reason that people are to look back is to thank God for who he is and what he's done, so that we may look forward to him doing more. God wants to take us in this church, in St. Paul's. He wants to take us down new paths in this coming year. There will be changes, and I don't mean necessarily pews to chairs. I don't know when that's going to happen. There will be changes. But if we go out with God, then I can guarantee those changes will be wonderful. Wonderful. So I want to encourage you that we are to be prepared to move. And you know, God promises in this passage that when we move into areas that we haven't been before, as the Israelites were going, he will be with us. We will know the way to go. Centuries after Joshua, Isaiah wrote this: whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. So the second response we need in this new year to God's eternal presence with us is that we are willing to step out and risk with him. Those of you who are old enough to remember John Wimber. John Wimber used to say that faith is spelt R-I-S-K. And I remember somebody pulling him up on that once and saying, actually, when you put your faith in God, there's no risk. But I know what he meant. The third instruction that the people were given was this: keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the ark. Do not go near it. This may seem a strange instruction to us in the days when, particularly in a church like this, we are encouraged to worship God and know an immediacy, an intimacy with him. But I believe that there is an element of warning in this Old Testament instruction from Joshua. It's this: that God is never reduced to a cozy teddy bear. After all, God is El Shaddai. He is God Almighty. Of course he's loving. Of course he's merciful. Of course he's compassionate. But he's also awesome and holy and beyond our comprehension. Intimacy in worship should never become a pally familiarity. We need to maintain that mystery, that sense of wow. The physical distance from the ark that the people were encouraged to keep was not to remind them or to tell them that the God was remote and uncaring, but it was to be a reminder that like the children in The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe, who were told about Aslan by Mr. and Mrs. Beaver, the children said, but is Aslan frightening? And they were said, no, he's not frightening, but he's not a tame lion. And so I believe that this instruction is to help us remember that God is God and we ain't. God is God. And finally, Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourself for tomorrow. The Lord will do amazing things among you. Amongst the meanings of consecrate is to clean up. The writer to the Hebrews again tells us to throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. God has commanded us to be holy because He is holy. Because He's going to do amazing things among us. Unless we are clean, unless we keep a short account with Him and with others, when God moves, we will be reluctant. We will perhaps drag behind because of shame or guilt. The enemy of our souls will be able to point at us and say, what about this or that in your lives? He will seek to make us doubt that we're good enough, that we're worthy. He will have us looking at ourselves, at our own abilities and strengths and resources, instead of looking to Him who gave the manna, who provided all that the people needed. Joshua said, consecrate yourselves. And so I suggest that we all keep an account. Jesus paid for it all. We do not have to carry any shame or guilt. It's all been taken on the cross. So as we enter this new year with all its opportunities and challenges and uncertainties, let us remember that the mark of us as a people is God's presence. But let us also respond by remembering what He has provided. Let us respond by being willing to step out, to embrace the changes that He brings. Let us remember to honour and follow our leaders as they lead us in God's grace. Let us remember to read our Bibles regularly. And by regularly, I don't mean once a year. Read them daily. Let our worship, yes, be intimate. Thank you, Lord, for that. That we no longer sing simply about God, but we sing to Him. But let us, in our intimacy, never lose sight of His awesome mystery. And let us keep our accounts short with God and with each other. Then, with confidence, we can partake of those things which God is going to do amazingly among us in the year ahead. And this verse that we have chosen for us for the coming year will be so true. "Haven't I commanded you," God said, "strength, courage. Don't be timid. Don't be discouraged. For God, your God, is going to be with you every step of the way." Let's just pray. Wow, what a God you are. And we praise you, Father, that of all the good things that you've done in and with us in 2016 will be even greater in 2017. For you are a God who is always for increase. You are a God of the more. You are the God who longs to take your people further out into your needy world, further up into the majesty of your heaven. And Father, we want to be a people who are willing to step out, to be prepared, to honour you in all we do. Not to be discouraged by the doom mongers of the world, but to be thankful people, courageous people, people who just long to see your world, the people that you died for, coming to know you. We want to be your people, conquering your world in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.